Welcome to the podcast of Women in Shamanism, Speaking the Unspeakable with Sue, Emma, and Sarita. Thank you for listening.
Welcome, everybody. Today we are talking about synchronicities. What do they mean? And how can we use them in our lives? So, yeah, the floor is open. Who wants to begin?
Okay, I'll begin. I think I'd like to begin by just saying that I think that from certainly where I'm, my personal viewpoint on synchronicities is that the coincidences don't really exist, and that synchronicities come into our lives to perhaps show us things, reveal things to us, open new doors or pathways for us, if we can learn how to recognize them and tune into them. Sometimes they can be really in your face and other times much more subtle.
Yeah, I think it's about noticing your external reality and understanding that you're creating your reality through your thoughts and feelings. Because from my perspective, we're living in a holographic reality. So we're creating everything in every moment. And so from that perspective, we are constantly manifesting from the field of infinite potential. And as you hone in your manifestation skills, so as you hone in and you master yourself, your mind, and you use your mind and your heart to create your reality, that's when I see my biggest synchronicity. So I'm thinking about, you know, creating my heart's desire, not necessarily because I want to create a specific thing, but I'm following a trajectory, if you like, of my heart's desires. And as I hone in and master on that, as I daydream them into being, if you like, then synchronicities begin to appear within my manifested reality. And it's like, as you follow the synchronicities, they lead you to the place that you're trying the thing you're trying to create, or the place you're trying to go, or the feeling that you want to feel. So they're a bit like, if you like, it's like being in a maze and you follow the path and it takes you where you're trying to get to. They're messages, aren't they? They take you where you're leading yourself.
I think, okay, and if people have listened to us speak before, they may have heard the podcast that we did about do we create our own reality or not. So from my perspective, I think, yes, I agree with you to the extent of us being in a holographic universe, and that we're creating our own realities to a certain extent, because I also think other realities are being created and that they can meet. And that, for me, is where the synchronicity would happen. So I haven't necessarily created the synchronicity, but the synchronicity has come to meet me through something creating itself to meet me and match my vibration. That's how I would see it. So there's multiple infinite creations going on. I haven't created those, but because of my vibrational situation, I'm a match for that particular synchronicity.
Yeah, absolutely. You're pulling it towards yourself, if you like. You're drawing it in through your resonant frequency. It's a vibrational match.
It's a vibrational
match. Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing again in different ways.
So what I heard when you spoke was that we're creating everything in our reality, and I don't think that's necessarily true.
Because I don't think we're necessarily creating the specifics of it, because I think, and we also disagree on this, that there is a divine intelligence at work, basically. So it's like you put through your imagination or whatever, you put out, you're emitting an electrical signal out into the field, which has a resonant frequency in accordance to how you think and feel. And then what's coming back is a vibrational match to that through the divine intelligence of the infinite potential of the womb of all creation, if you like. But within that, which is what you just said, which is interesting, there are other parallel universes, timelines, realities, all entangled.
Yeah, all creating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of synchronicities, when let's just take, okay, so we all know I've had a big one. I've had a big almost initiationary one with being bitten by a false widow the other day, really quite badly. And that for me is, there's a synchronicity there because it's showing me something that I need to look at. But so what, and I don't know because I haven't explored it in this way yet. I've explored some of it, but not this particular path of synchronicities with it. Are we saying that spider was at the exact vibrational match of me at that moment where I got bitten, or that something of greater intelligence is telling me there's something I need to look at, in which case it's not a vibrational match necessarily. Well, I'm just kind of being almost devil's advocate here. But there's something vibrating at a higher level or a different level that's coming to me and saying, wake up to this particular issue, which I don't know what that is yet. So I don't know, it just puts a different perspective, but there's a synchronicity in the way that we met in that moment. Something synchronized and came together in that moment.
But I would say that wasn't necessary, because when you're talking about synchronicities, most people think of synchronicities like, to me, that's more of a symbol. There is a synchronicity because you've had a black widow spider sleeping above your bed, and there's a synchronicity. Let's dramatize it. So yeah. You had a false widow spider sleeping above your bed. Let's give our listeners some context.
Yeah.
And we work with spider energy in our shamanic teachings and trainings. Okay, I don't know how much you're working with that personally in your day-to-day life. And now you've been bitten by one. You could say that's synchronicity, but what I would perceive synchronicity more like is, to me, that's more symbolic. Something's coming to meet you. Rather than a synchronicity is when you're seeing the field. If you like, it's like, let's say you decide you want to that you need a new car. Okay, we'll just do something. I always use car analogies. I don't know why everyone uses these cars. So you need a new car. So you're thinking that you need a new car, and then a friend arrives and says, "Oh, I met so-and-so today and they're selling their car." Bingo, that's a synchronicity. And then you follow those threads, if you like, and it takes you to your car. And that's you seeing the field of reality and following the mazes. Whereas something like being bitten by a black widow spider, to me, is more of a...
False widow.
Oh, yeah, false widow. It's more like a stop sign. Like, it's more like a have a look at this rather than a follow this thread. I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't know. To me, it seems like a massive, like,
well,
symbol.
It is massive. It is massive in your face. But is that because I wasn't following synchronicities before? I don't know. I'm just
you could playing argue with it. That the way that it bit you, which was, you know, you had the chair there and you wanted to clear the chair, so you put your hand in and da-di-da-di-da, then there is, I mean, you could also argue, what are the chances of that happening? You know, exactly. How many times do we do that and, you know, we don't get bitten and the rest of it. And there are many spiders, not just false widows.
Yeah.
So there's also, listening to you both, there's an element of... I don't know if you call it synchronicity, I'm not sure about that, but there's an element of that there being something in following the threads of that, because you could have gone indoors and got a duster and flipped it around and that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so maybe that type of thing is more, if you're not seeing something that you need to see, the universe will come in urgently somehow.
To get your attention.
So I'm thinking of it in terms of vibrational match. That feels to me like that's more than a vibrational match. There's something, a different vibration coming in and saying, you need to be doing X, Y, Z. Whereas a synchronicity feels more like an absolute pure vibrational match. You know, you're using that metaphor about the car. So, you know.
Yeah, but that's only, I'm only talking here. Is it only a vibrational match if you follow the threads? Because the chances are you could say, oh, yeah, but, you know, something happens. You don't follow the threads to the car. Would you say yeah. that? Not, you know, so there has to be something that aligns that sort of allows it to follow its course.
So synchronicity is different to signs then?
Because I think they are, yeah.
I think the other thing is yeah. around all this is that everyone tries to make meaning. I remember when yes. My son died, there was loads of synchronicities, but they led in a way, if you looked at it from the energetic perspective, it led to his death, and also the physical actuality of what happened obviously led to his death. So, but I got really into, after that happened, I got really into, and I'd escorted his soul to the light. And so then that really got me into looking up all that sort of stuff. And I started to learn about predictions. And I found in the research that I did around predictions that if people, there's a lot of crap around it, obviously, but then there were certain things which people did which were very precise. And that if they'd seen things in a really clear, precise way, it was impossible, it seemed, from the research I read, to be able to undo what had been, yeah, to not. So that path was being walked down, and so it was irreversible. So, and this, I did some, the research I read was some doctor who'd basically researched women who'd predicted their, or seen visions of their babies dying, or their children dying. And it seemed that even though they'd seen this and nothing, it's like one of those movies, isn't it? Nothing can change the course of action once you're on that, even if you're doing stuff to avoid what you don't want.
Well, that's an interesting,
you're
going to
be on that path anyway.
But that's a really complicated topic, really, because, well, maybe it's all complicated because there is no such thing as linear time, and what you believe is. So, yeah. But then are you believing something because you've already precognitively seen it?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's interesting. And
I'm not sure, and
there's a lot in there. But what I was thinking as you were showing me your false widow bite is that everything in your physical body is a record of how you think and feel. So, and if you're looking at disease the way I look at it, is that there's no victimhood in that. This is my personal perspective. So I believe that we create everything within our physical bodies. It's a record of how we think and feel, not necessarily in this lifetime, because I think it's far more complicated than that. But potentially your widow bite could be something like you are not connecting with nature deeply enough, for example. And that could be a symbol, because I was listening to like Louise Hay, fantastic. You know, it's amazing what comes up with Louise Hay and the correlations between disease and how the disease has been created, and how people have similar, if you like, emotional blocks create similar diseases. And I don't know if it was her, if it was someone else, but they were talking about malaria. I've had malaria, and malaria is considered to be, if you're looking at it from a spiritual holistic point of view, that you're not in connection with nature. So that got me thinking. That's what I thought as you put, I saw your hand coming up with a bite in it. It's like, maybe it's, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but maybe it's more something like that. It's showing you what the record of where you are is.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually, because since I've started investigating it, there's been a lot of heart stuff. Black Widow, like for example, the Black Widow, I'm talking about Black Widow now, not False Widow. The Black Widow, of which the False Widow is a cousin of the Black Widow, for those of you that don't know. So the Black Widow homeopathic remedy is about opening the heart. It's a heart remedy. It's a heart spider, and widows are very gentle and loving spiders. They are. They don't want to bite. They only do. There's a last resort for them. And obviously, when you've got a gigantic hand coming in to extract your web, you are going to see that as a threat and perhaps bite the owner of that hand. And also, as somebody pointed out to me, apparently this exactly where I've been bitten is a direct line to the heart energy center. So, so there's a lot of heart connection. And interestingly, I do a lot of heart work because I do a lot of, as we know, sexual energy work and breast work. And our breasts are like guardians of our heart center as women. And so the more breast work and sexual energy work I've been doing, the deeper I've been going into my heart. And I've found there's a bit in there that feels a bit like I'm drowning. So I know it's not all of it, but there's certainly a connection with the spider coming in and telling me something. That's the bit where I've got to. So I'm looking to open my heart.
Oh, and that's further. So interesting, because everything that shows up in the field is a mirror of how we think and feel. Yeah. And so anything that shows up, which is pain and suffering, this is the shadow work, is showing you where you need to look within. So that's just like perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So when I started piecing all that together and I did this along with my homeopath, I was just like, my gosh, this is, it's incredible. So are there synchronicities in that? So there must be something that's synchronized, I wouldn't say synchronous, but I don't think that's a word, but it might be. If not, I've just made it up. So great. So it is now.
There is synchronicity within that. Because
that's what I was just thinking,
You've just explained to us the synchronicities.
Yeah.
Working on this and you've been
but maybe it's all synchronicities because it's all code. It's like it's encoded like frequency information. Everything is a piece of code. It's like we're all one giant equation, plus within that we have the microcosm and the macrocosm aspect. So you could never, you know, within everything is everything.
Yes. That's true. But there are, sorry, Sue, go on.
I was just going to say, if we just went back a moment, they became synchronistic because you followed it through. Somebody else might have gone, I've been bitten, and just, I've been bitten, you know, let's get it sorted and walk away, you know, and would not follow.
Yeah. So
that's not synchronistic, but there wouldn't be that following through that you've done to get to, you know, on your way to getting to where you need to go, which makes the synchronicity have a very different energetic feel to somebody who gets bitten and goes, I've been bitten, puts some stuff on it and gets on with their life.
Yeah. Oh, and this is because it's about bringing meaning and bringing the sacred into everything.
Yeah, into the mundane, into everyday life.
Buying your car. Follow the sacred. Bitten by a spider, find the sacred in it. Find the meaning in it, which is exactly what we've lost as a culture. So maybe our job is to find synchronicity in everything.
Yeah, and there's a difference between, because there's a lot of, in kind of spiritual things that people, there's a lot of trying to assign meanings to things. I've certainly found this along the way in talking to people where, oh, that happened, so it must mean X, Y, and Z, and that happened, so that means X, Y, and Z. That's not the way to do it. That's almost like, it almost could be in certain places spiritual bypassing.
I was going to say spiritual bypassing.
Yeah, it is spiritual bypass.
And it's a really easy way to cop out, which I know is what you mean by spiritual bypassing. But
yeah, it's a cop out. Yeah,
and also, in a strange way, you can almost blame. You know, you can say, you know, I ran the car into the back of that because, I don't know, Mars wasn't aligned with Jupiter or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Victimhood.
Whereas what you're doing is you're following your own threads.
Yes.
And you're taking responsibility for your own unraveling or your own whatever. And therefore, you're creating in some way more synchronicity by following the spiritual into the mundane and the mundane to the spiritual, which is a lovely lemniscus walk, isn't it?
Yeah. And so that's like the difference. So basically the spiders come along, that's whatever that was, it's come along because it came along. And so the doors opened and instead of saying, oh, it must have bit me because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I've opened the door and had a look in and started to go down that path to see what happens next. And without any attachment to the fact that anything might even happen next, because I don't know, but just by walking along that path, that's when the synchronicities come in.
So it's all synchronicities. Everything is synchronicities.
Yes.
If you choose to see them, because basically it's all code. It has got a divine intelligence, just like our genes have a divine intelligence.
That's within us. That's not, yes. It's not separate, which we've, been assigned to as separate. And it's like when, as Sue was saying a minute ago, when you say, oh, well, because Venus was conjunct Jupiter or whatever, that X, Y, and Z is happening. Well, that we're not meant to be using it in that way. We're meant to be, that's reflecting wisdom already within us. So
that's the whole thing. Venus is conjuncting with X, Y, and Z within your cells.
Yeah, that's it.
So there is the synchronicity within there, but it's like you assign the meaning yourself for yourself, by yourself, because you're walking your sacred path alone and with all of it.
And with everything. Yeah, exactly. In a sense, you're not assigning, you're allowing it to reveal itself.
Yeah, because I think what I'm sensing from this is that synchronicity is internal.
Yeah.
It's not something external, which is, we often see it as external. But
the external world is internal.
Exactly.
We feel that. We follow that within ourselves, which might mean that we go out there and do X, Y, and Z, but it comes because I could have got bitten by the same thing and followed my own threads, but it would be different synchronicities.
Yeah.
Because they would be my synchronicities, if you like.
Yeah.
And whereas yours are yours, and the same with you, Sarita. So it comes back, like you say, Sarita, back to ourselves.
Yes, yeah, like taking the without to the within, and you're seeing the within without.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing that back in, and you're back to your lemniscatic weave again.
Yeah.
Which is the eternity. It's really beautiful, actually. Like,
it's
thought it was symbols or synchronicities, but now it's synchronicity. That makes more sense.
Now it's Synchronicity City.
Yes. But the key, it feels as though this is the key that's really important, is you taking responsibility. And I'm not sure responsibility is the right word, but you, maybe it is responsibility.
It is.
It's not going, this happened because and blaming somebody or something, or it's coming back to you. Okay, this has happened, so let's go inward to see what that means for you, for me.
And we're back to sovereignty again. Self responsibility and sovereignty and acceptance of what you're creating within and all around you, and that aspect of yourself as intrinsic to the whole.
Yeah, and but also, I think what's coming to meet you in that as well. So I mean, that's just, it's reminded me of when I was doing training, some shamanic training, we did this component on omens, which is very similar. This is the same, really. And one of the exercises, but an omen is a sign or a synchronicity that you then lead you to take a different turning or whatever. So we had to go out with a notebook or whatever and like follow our hearts or whatever, and then the first thing that felt significant, we had to say omen and then kind of resonate or see what this sign was saying, and then go down that path until we get the next one. And then anyway, exactly what you just said happens, you discover that everything's an omen, everything's
but the thing is that actually what I found is when I, if you like, follow my synchronicities or the ones When I bring the sacred into the mundane and follow those synchronicities or recognize them for what they are for me, my life is easier.
Because you're in flow. Because
I'm in tune.
In that flow, and you're in tune, and you're in tune with all. So there's not that.
When you're trying to deny it, you're getting a rub, you're getting the resistance, you're getting the.
Trying to push too hard. That's another one, isn't it? Whereas when you're in that lovely flow of life, then life unfolds.
Yeah. So the thing is to begin to recognize. I mean, sometimes you get massive. You get something massive, like a death, or they're the really huge ones are like deaths or births or accidents, that kind of thing. And then there's then there's extremely subtle ones where you're kind of thinking, is that a sign? Is it a synchronicity? Is there meaning in that? And those are the ones which for me took absolutely years to really trust, I think, because when I started my shamanic path many, many years ago, before I did formal training, I really was between these two polarities of when I was immersed in shamanism, it was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And when I wasn't, it was like, did that really happen? Is that really true? Is this really going on? I don't know if that's actually true. I'm not really going to go there. And I would swing from these two poles for quite a long time. And it took me quite a few big, massive life shocks and big, massive life events to really come onto the path and trust it and go with it. So when I teach people, I always recommend just trust. Don't wait for those big frying pans over the head, because you know you really don't have to go through them. If you can help, they really hurt, and they take a lot of working through. So the key is to start. Is just to, even if it feels, say, let's take an example. You're just walking down a path, and the wind is in the trees and you feel something in your body that feels good, or like a message, or I don't know, anything, could be anything really subtle, which your brain would go or just ignore. And if you can start just saying to yourself, I did actually feel a shift in my body, or I did actually feel like I got that message from somewhere, and just trust it and then let go of it. You can start to bring that element of trust into your body. And I think that's what I did before I had any formal training. Well, I did have a bit of formal training, but the kind of full on 8 years that I did. But that's actually a big leap out of mainstream society and mainstream thinking, just even something as simple as that. Whereas kids do it all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
If you took a kid into the woods, they're like, oh my gosh, there's a leaf. And I remember taking my niece when she was about three into the woods. She was like, oh, there's a leaf. And then there's another leaf. Oh, another leaf. It was autumn. There was leaves on the floor everywhere. But there was so much delight in that. And it was like the leaves just came to life for her. And that's what it is, isn't it? It's about the essence of life. Outside, being reflected inside, and that spark of joy, and that just,
I think that's it, the joy.
Yeah,
the joy. And if you like following that and with that childlike levity, and I like the part where you notice it but you let it go, because otherwise you know, if you spent your whole life going, is that a synchronicity? Should I turn left? Should I turn? You go, you wouldn't do anything. Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense then. And that's when you can also start attaching meaning to it, which is irrelevant.
And I think that's what the brain is capable of doing. And it can create a whole story that is just a story that it's made up out of some synchronicities. Mm. So that's why I think I was talking about coming back to the body and feeling it, because our body doesn't lie.
That's right.
You know, whereas our brain likes stories and stuff, Our body is different. So it's coming back to, you might call it the womb sensation or a gut sensation, or, you know, whatever language somebody resonates with. It's coming back to something within yourself that you trust, and treating it lightly, really.
But then also, I was going to say, there's also synchronicities that, you know, we're talking about the spark of joy, but there's also, like the Titanic, everything lined up for that ship to sink. So
yeah,
there was nothing that was going to make it reach America. Nothing, you know, everything was in, I can't remember all the details now. I used to know it all, but basically nothing was in place for, and if it was going down, even for people to survive, because there weren't even enough lifeboats. So from start to finish, it was on a journey to the bottom of the ocean. So, you know, when I said earlier on about the predictions that when I researched that, so sometimes these synchronicities they might not necessarily take us to a place that we're comfortable with.
Or that
we are happy with. But the key is trusting. And I mean, I don't really know where to go with that, because that's the truth, isn't it? The synchronicity, when you live in that connection with life, that
you're trusting what you're seeing in the field, aren't you? Whether it's painful or whether it's not, what it's doing is it's showing you that you're the creator in a way, because what you were talking about earlier, that joy, that what it is, it's a joy in the recognition of your place within the field, the source field, basically. Because as you see synchronicities, whether they're huge, like the lining up of the sinking of the Titanic, or whether they are seeing four red leaves in a row as you're skipping down the whatever, as you're seeing those and you recognize them for what they are expressions of how you think and feel in reflection. So they're the within and the without. You're getting this spark of recognition of your place within the creation of that.
But that I get that with an individual, but if you look at something like the Titanic, you know, where there were many people involved in building it, they didn't get the bolts or whatever it was to get the metals together, they were wrong. Yeah. You know, the propeller wasn't the right size. There were so many synchronicity or synchronistic features that led to the sinking. And then obviously the iceberg, we could argue, is similar to my widow bite, whereas there have been signs all along.
There's the collective, isn't there? I mean, there's a lot of things in what you're just saying. So first of all, there's a collective consciousness. Yeah. So there's a collective consciousness, and collective consciousness can have great momentum. When you put a lot of consciousnesses together, we're all one consciousness, but let's say you put individual expressions of consciousness together, they're going to have a grand momentum. They really can. Look at COVID. Oh my God. Yeah. Grand momentum. I mean, you could argue that that whole thing is just a momentum. So you've got that, but then also, if you're really going to go into the source field, potentially we are within, there's so many things in there, but when you're looking at universes and parallel lives and timelines, and we are all, if we are all creating within our own universe, then we're all resonating at frequency and coming together. I guess this is more collective consciousness as well, but we're all being affected by one another in terms of, we allow ourselves to be affected by one another in terms of resonant frequency. We shouldn't really, we should be sovereign, but that's not actually how it has been playing out in the field of this reality thus far. We're moving into our sovereignty. So you could say, let's say there was a nefarious agenda to sink the Titanic, okay? Because there was, as far as I'm aware, and then that had a collective momentum, and then that
what do you mean a nefarious agenda?
Well, there's a whole thing about how there were some of the biggest most powerful men on the Titanic, and they were going to do some, I don't know, I can't remember whatever the theory is, but it's quite
That's
an interesting
conspiracy
theory. doesn't mean it was not true.
No, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
There is a
theory about the powerful men who sunk on the Titanic because they were forming some group to do something or other, and there was another group that didn't want them to do it, and blah blah blah. So it was not whatever. Let's say it was set up that there was an intention to sink it. I'm not saying there was or there wasn't, but basically that would have a momentum, and then because we're not sovereign, there's that momentum would then, we would be individuals, so let's say the people who built the Titanic, the workers, would be affected by the collective consciousness of that momentum if they're not sovereign, and then mistakes would be being made, and that would build on the momentum. So it's like when you're if we're saying that,
yeah, but you could say that even without, but I'm thinking let's strip even that way, because so that's a theory. I mean, I've never heard of that theory, but if that is some sort of
strip
theory,
the intent away, you mean?
Yeah, so if you strip the intent away, because that's attaching meaning, which, you know, there's a meaning and a story around that, which in a sense is irrelevant to the sinking of the ship. But there must have been some momentum where everything aligned to meet that iceberg, which is obviously what happened. And we have micro, those things play out in our lives, like me with the spider, lots of spider stuff that happened. And then I got bitten, which is the hitting the iceberg. So, and we all have events like that in our lives where in a way we get feelings about things, but we still go ahead and do them. Even if we've got a feeling that tells us no, and then you get the hit, like the frying pan over the head, or, you know, with the ship, it was the final.
But maybe the synchronicities were the workers are not being paid properly, so they're resentful, so they're not doing the thing properly, and then that's creating synchronicities, which is showing up. Because when
Sorry, Sue.
Well, I was going to say similar, but not in such a way. I was just going to say that maybe the synchronicities just weren't seen, voiced. So they must have known that, you know, that somebody somewhere must have known that the propeller wasn't the right size, or there wasn't this, or there wasn't that. But those, if you want to call them synchronicities or whatever, they weren't voiced. Or they weren't voiced in a way that was truly heard. So you've got, and it's the same with aeroplane crashes. You often find that lots of things were missed.
Yes.
And maybe that's because we're not acknowledging the sacred in the synchronicity. So it's like, and you know, this is it's like if we're saying everything is synchronicity, okay, everything, every tiny thing, the fact that
because in a way, how can it not be in a way? If everything is perfect in the universe.
Yeah, and it's our recognition of that, isn't it? So it's our recognition of that which brings the spark of awareness that we're intrinsic in the whole kit and caboodle. But perhaps if you ignore synchronicities, they get bigger and bigger and bigger until you have the plane crash, the bite, or the tornado,
iceberg.
Whatever the hell it is, the iceberg.
But also within that, other things do happen.
They do, don't they?
You know, I call it accidents for whatever. You know, a tornado will happen. A tsunami will happen.
I don't believe in accidents at all.
It's the human label for things that we can't really understand or that no one's to blame for.
I think I just want to be careful that we don't, that sometimes stuff just happens.
Shit happens,
yeah.
You see, I just completely don't, I can't resonate with that at all.
I think that in a way that goes back to that creating our reality thing, because I know we disagree on it, but for me, I do agree with Sue on this. I don't know if I'd call it an accident, but that is a general term.
Yeah, it's just for a language.
We create our reality, but, you know, I'm going around a corner, someone else is creating their reality, and bam, we might bump into each other. Yeah. Now, that could be a synchronicity. It probably is, given that we seem to think
everything is quick backtrack. Actually, I don't know what it is.
suppose what I want to be careful of is we just don't go, we don't take responsibility because we just go, oh, well, this was a synchronicity.
But so, that would, so that's spiritual, you know, bypassing, isn't it? And that's where we say, oh, well, that, yeah, but so, so we.
Balance, I suppose. I just.
So we have to, so if I went round a corner, I'm creating my reality. This is my understanding, okay? Yeah. And someone else is coming around a corner, they're creating their reality. Our realities meet and we bump into each other and I hurt myself, I'm hurt from that bump. Then my responsibility is I walked around the corner in that way, and then having been hurt from the interaction, I take care of myself. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm just saying, this, thoughts are just coming into me. Rather than just saying, yeah. Rather than just saying, oh, that was synchronistic, da da da, and then trying to attach meaning to it. But then if I investigate the hurt that I've received, I might, the meaning might reveal itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than me trying to attach something, just saying, oh, well, they did that, yeah, and da da da, and this, yeah, happened, and that, oh, well, the universe did this. And because, yeah, there's so much of, oh, the universe does this, universe. There's so much spiritual bypassing, yeah, that. And actually, it'd be a good one to talk about at some point.
But we don't need to attack. I mean, the thing is, this is the thing. We can find our own meaning in things, but we don't have to. I don't know.
There's a subtle difference. There's a very, yeah, subtle difference, but between attaching meaning and allowing a meaning to reveal itself.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, there's a very subtle difference, yeah, but it can have big consequences.
Yeah, I think so, it's vital.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. It's absolutely, yeah, pivotal, isn't it? To, yeah, taking responsibility, or, yeah, to just saying the universe has done it and da 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 da, which is, of course, not taking any responsibility at all.
And that's so, all I wanted to sort of highlight that within, yeah, that to have that balance. You know what I'm like.
No, it's important, I think. I think it is. Because these things are so, almost sometimes they're just, we kind of know them, but we can't, that we can hardly, yeah, form them into an understanding. And so it feels really important to be able to do that, you know, just for myself as much as anything, yeah, else.
But, yeah, also, as you sort of start to, but this comes right back, you know, as you start to see the sacred in everything, it's like an automatic process towards sovereignty, where you begin to take responsibility for more and more things as you see the sacred in more and more things. And as you see the sacred in more and more things, you begin to perceive that it's not just about your tiny experience, so that attachment. It's about how is your relationship with what you're seeing, or how you're interacting with it, going to affect the whole. And I think this is where we're at now. We have been so utterly self-obsessed and self-absorbed and have lost the sacred, that we have lost our responsibility in relationship to everything we do in every moment, and how that's going to affect generations to come. We've just like, we've literally like, nobody thinks about that at all. Mm. And perhaps that's what this is. When we see the symbols in everything, in the sky, in the clouds, in your face, in the expression in your eyes, you know, everything, what color I'm wearing today, you know, we're all matching in a way. And you just, no one can see because they can't see the video, but when we begin to see that those sacred, it's like it's an automatic acceptance of the responsibility that we have to, like you say, not bypass it, to look at it for, yeah, the meaning it holds for us. Mm-hmm. And then to step forward into the next moment with the change that's necessary or not, yeah, or the awareness that comes up with from that or not, or,
yeah. Yeah.
So everything is synchronicity.
yeah it is. And, yeah, and you're right, it's also important to acknowledge the not side of it. So there might be something to follow through and there might not be,
yeah,
that it might be just let it go, it might be something to let go, you know.
Yeah,
that's another thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just as valid as a holding on, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It is. Absolutely. Yeah. I've bumped the car, so I've bumped the car. You know, yeah. I'm not going to build a whole story about bumping the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Off the car because yeah. I'm not looking or whatever. Okay. Yeah. That's on me.
Yeah.
Which
then might lead to something else, which might. There might be something to join the dots, but I think there is a big thing about letting stuff go and not starting to assign things. I mean, I've found in my own kind of past experience that if I've tried to assign attach stories to things to create what I want to create from a place of the mind rather than the heart and womb or whatever, you know, or the body, that I have got myself into absolute pickles, you know, real pickles that take a lot of untangling. And all of my own doing.
Well done, Emma.
all our own stuff. If only I'd been quiet.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because it's about authenticity.
Say that again, Sarita. I was laughing.
This is the thing. It's about the authenticity because it's. You're right. You're only going to see the sacred if you let go of the mind.
Yeah,
you're not really going to get thing that you described earlier, the attachment that's false through mind identification rather than heart. What is this showing me about me?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
That's the bottom line.
It can only be about ourselves.
Yeah, because that's the only person we can work with and change and
exactly
and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and everything gets filtered through our own beings, you know.
Our own sunglasses.
Our own shades.
Yeah. Oh, I know what yours would be like. Really cool.
Shades of infinite grey.
I wear aviators. What do you wear?
We need to say no more.
Witch is cackling, that's all I have to say.
Oh dear.
Okay, so let's have some final words about synchronicities. Sue.
Oh, laughing is good for you. That's a good synchronicity. Levity, lightness, synchronicities. I think it's really made me consider many aspects of what the hell I think synchronicity is.
Well done, Sue.
Now than I was at the beginning. But hey, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel similar. I feel like it's all in the shades. I feel like this discussion has opened up a wonderful world, the wonderful world of synchronicities to me. Yeah. That where it might have been boxed in a particular package, is actually everywhere. Synchronicity is everywhere and constantly present, and that's a wonderful thing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's opened me up to the idea that there is synchronicity in everything, which I sort of knew that, but I hadn't really sort of, I don't know, honed that in my own beingness, if you like.
In your body.
I think I'm going to be looking at everything in more detail. Maybe what it's going to do is it's going to bring me into more presence with everything. Yeah. As I really sort of focus in on it. So it's been interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's a good point, Sarita, around what we might know intellectually in our minds. And then the difference between that and it becoming visceral and in our cells, it just shifts everything, doesn't it? The whole perspective on stuff.
Yeah. Like literally, as I'm talking to you, it's really weird. I'm having this sensation where the colors in the room that I'm in are brighter. Do you ever have those moments where something gets brighter and brighter? So literally
particularly on drugs. Okay, that's another story.
That's a whole other story. But yeah, you don't need drugs. You can just
talk to Emma and Sue. You do not need drugs.
Just laughter. Lots of laughter.
I know, that's what's happened to me. Literally all of the colours in the room I'm in have got brighter. So,
that's brilliant. That's because we're so bright.
Yeah.
And actually, we are all very glowy at the end of this conversation. Yeah. We are very glowy, which is very lovely.
It is. Shame nobody can see us. I know.
You're probably feeling blessed about that. I always do these in my pyjamas.
Your dressing gown.
And my dressing gown, because it's very cold. Okay, great. So thanks for listening
brilliant.
To us again. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.